What's good? Welcome back to the Pop-Off Podcast, a conversation show about the Super Bowl. We have the Chiefs and the Niners playing Sunday night. We have Mike Cerrone, as always, my co-host. I'm Ralph Campiano, and we're joined by our two popcorn boys, Jack Turner and Skylar Riesberg. So today's episode, breaking down the Super Bowl, doing spitter swallows, and then, of course, we have our popcorn picks at the end, our favorite little bits of culture. But I just want to start with how are you guys doing? It's been a week since our last pod, or actually a little bit less because we're recording early this week, but I missed you. This is one of my favorite nights of the week now. Cerrone, we're seeing each other in literally less than like 36 hours. Are you getting more and more excited, baby?
Dude, I cannot wait to fucking see your cute little fuzzy face.
It is fuzzy right now.
Yeah, I'm dude, bearded. Waste management is like Christmas. We're going to have so much fucking fun. This meetup has been well overdue. And yeah, I keep kind of forgetting that it's fucking, I mean, fuck bro, we leave in 2 days. Yep. This is going to be before we know it. And we will have a hell of a 3 days. It's going to be amazing.
You guys are going to need to just upload a bunch of Snap stories so I can just tune in all week, see what's going on, and live vicariously, get my FOMO out of the way by just tuning in to you guys.
Yeah,
so I was talking to Riesberg earlier this week. Like, Riesberg said, he's like, I'm glad Turner's not going so my FOMO isn't worse. He was like wishing less fun upon our friend group because he's like,
man,
I don't want
guys,
my FOMO to be that bad.
The thing is with you guys is like, half of fucking Iowa lives in Arizona. Like, you guys should just go. Like, I know more Iowa kids than... It's actually it's actually dumb. Like, the amount of Iowans in Arizona is, like, it was Shroud's birthday today. Fucking, I know, like, all your guys' friends, which is just, like, it's awesome. But it's just the
small
craziest
world.
Thing, because you guys don't know one of my back home friends at all. It's just,
no.
I don't know, I feel like I'm just going to start telling people I'm from Iowa instead of Rhode Island. And I have enough criteria to back it, for real.
The Waste Management Open being on Super Bowl weekend is just perfect. Mm-hmm. You get the party of a tournament.
Oh,
you get the lead in into the Super Bowl. Just a wonderful, wonderful tournament. I got a couple picks for everybody here real quick. My winner this week is going to be Cam Young, plus 3,300. And then long shot, Daniel Berger. DB straight vibing, one of my all-time favorite golfers. Has been off the tour for the last year and a half, 2 years.
I love the golf picks.
From a back injury. But, you know, he's always been a TPC Scottsdale guy. So those
Did
are the
you
two
watch
picks
the,
I'm bringing in.
The Pebble Beach little tournament, the little pro-am type. That's I love watching that, like seeing Brady top a ball, all these like like celebs and ex. That's one of my favorite things to watch is when they do that. But
Didn't
they never really cover a lot of it. Golf Channel sucks at that shit.
Yeah, they do. They're terrible
what
marketing.
I think they just have a lot of like issues with like the rights and recording and all that stuff. But like it's hilarious to see – like Brady and all them, like Steph Curry's nasty at those tournaments. It's cool to see like athletes cross over, and some of them are nasty, and then some of them are like, just awful. And yeah, like Barkley, like all those guys. I don't know if you watched that, but that's awesome. I didn't know you were into golf like that.
Yeah, and I mean, I was pretty disappointed that the Pebble Beach Sunday got rained out, so they didn't can finish the tournament amongst the pros.
Yeah, dude, LA's underwater.
A little bit of a tease for my popcorn pick, because I needed some hungover golf more than anything, and I had to turn to something else that's going to be my pick for today, maybe for the wrong reasons. But, yeah, Waste Management Open, great tournament. I love it.
Is that always during the Super Bowl?
It is always Super Bowl weekend. Last year was in Phoenix. The Super Bowl is in Phoenix, yeah. So, like, Phoenix as a whole was just mad.
Oh, dude.
That's kind of why I asked.
I remember every celebrity – on the United States of America was in Scottsdale. Me and Connor, Route, this is actually a great story. Me and Connor, and he's going to love this. I'll make a little post out of it. Me and Connor, high out of our minds, go to 7-Eleven to get some Nerds clusters, because that's what you do when you're high out of your mind.
Yeah.
I open the fridge to grab a Powerade or something, and I grab it, and I turn to my right, and I look to my right, and Connor's like this. Now, well, I mean, he's a tall kid, but I was looking down at him, and he's looking up like this, like he saw Jesus Christ himself. And I look at him, I go, "What's wrong?" He goes, "It's J.R. Smith." I turn around, and J.R. I swear, right hand of God, I'll have Connor. J.R. Smith is on the phone wearing the same kith jacket as Connor, grabbing like a tall boy out of the thing. And I go, I'm like, and I'm baked as fuck. I don't do well with weed. So I'm like, oh my God, it's J.R. Smith. And this motherfucker Like, bro, he doesn't look big on the court. Yeah, that motherfucker's a furnace. Like, that guy, like, he's not, like, I'm not taking a charge from JR.
He's
like, it's insane.
Too, right there.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, you guys were, spiritually connecting with each other.
Page, and I go,
same jacket.
And usually when we see, like, celebs, like, we saw Portnoy, we saw, like, I'm always the one that, like, I'm like, all right, fuck it, I'll go say hi to him. And I'm like, Connor, this is your like, you have the same hoodie on, like, go talk to him. But he's on the phone, and he didn't look like a some people have like inviting vibes. J.R. Smith, not an inviting vibe. He was probably gonna stab me if I asked for a picture. Like, if Connor showed up like, hey J.R., we have the same hoodie on, he's like, man, fuck all little ass. You know, it wasn't that inviting. But long story short, yeah, waste management is just there's one place to be next this weekend, and it's in fucking Scottsdale, Arizona. So I can't fucking wait.
Can't
you
wait,
take
man.
Scottsdale over Super Bowl Vegas this weekend? I probably would.
You don't understand. I think the question, Scottsdale is like for like it, from if you're anywhere in your 20s, just from 20 to 30. I mean, just Scottsdale, you just can't beat it, especially if you like blondes.
I feel like they usually say the opposite. You know, people go there to retire. But I was just there, and
no,
there were a lot of...
I get active in Scottsdale.
There was a lot
of... Retiring is the last thing I do in Scottsdale. We are working. Me and Ralph will be working all weekend.
Post it for the story.
Yeah, no,
yeah,
it's great. We'll do like a we'll do a recap pod and everything like that afterwards. But I do actually have a spit related to not Scottsdale itself, not to waste management, but I'll just save it for that. But we got to do Super Bowl because
stories in Scottsdale. Because
yeah, I mean the golf is great, the event is going to be awesome, but the game is what we're here for. And you know, the last week or so, I think we talked about it actually earlier this week with Bordy.
More Chiefs talk.
My excitement levels were a little bit diluted like the last week in comparison to previous years. But now that it's Wednesday, when people are hearing this or seeing this, I'm back. Like, I'm ready for this fucking game. I'm ready to roll. The storylines are flowing through me. Yeah, and that was interesting. I actually wanted to talk about that. So they had like this Super Bowl Monday thing where it's not just Media Monday, but it's like almost like an award show event where...
Oh, yeah. They do this every year. Players together. So unfortunately doing it out of the last five. We're pretty used to it.
Okay, so you're used
this
to
is
just
honestly that was my first time
he had
seeing
to say it.
I'd never seen like Fred Warner and Patrick Mahomes and Chris Jones and Brock Purdy all in the same picture.
Was
I was
cool,
a little bit
yeah.
weirded out by that, but I was like, you know what? I mean, they are. But like Chris Jones was so close to Brock Purdy, I'm like, dude, he's just feasting and dreaming and drooling about
smelling him.
He wants to teabag him. Like that. That's what his goal is.
What if these teams have beef? They're keeping these guys pretty in close proximity. I could see something in the future breaking out, getting a little spicy.
They did that with Mahomes and Jalen Hurts last year, though, too. I feel like they usually have the like on the podium,
do like a panel. They bring the kids in. Remember a few years ago, like Tom Brady talking about his dad being his hero, and the media was just eating that shit up.
That was
a beautiful moment. I cried.
It's a soundbite. It's soundbite nation, is what it is. They take the the quickest little like two sentences and try and make a whole headline out of it. Like Kadarius Toney, are you a receiver number one? He says, "Give me the ball,
oh,
I am.
Dude.
Give the ball, I am."
Yeah, too bad you drop all those passes, stupid.
Yeah, somebody corrected them. We're like, you need to catch the ball first to get the ball.
Yeah, exactly. He has so many grills, too. Did you see his fucking? Does he play with the grills in? You know
man,
what I'm talking about,
man.
He plays with the
grills. He's not though. He's really not. He's the man at all. He's probably
he made
the farthest.
Good catches last year in the playoffs for the Chiefs. Some good Super Bowl catches.
I don't
think
that's
catches.
True.
I hope he gets
back-check on that.
Touchdown in the Super Bowl last year. 60-yard punt return in the Super Bowl last year. I mean, KT, always a dog.
Really?
Oh,
he returned a punt?
Huge punt.
I was probably hammered in Scottsdale. I didn't see that one. But, that, you know.
Wait, whoa, wasn't it a record? All right,
then.
I think
I don't think that happened.
I think it was a record. They made a really big deal about it. Kadarius
maybe on a punt return? But the kick return touchdown.
65-yard longest punt
definitely
return
not kick
in
return.
Super Bowl
we know
history.
That belongs to Devin Hester.
All right. I stand corrected. Sorry, Tony.
But the funny thing is the headline right beneath that is Tony's giving a chance of redemption. They're already counting him out.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't he injured? Or is
he's
he not
playing
injured? Yes, that's good. Bench.
Poor Kadarius Tony, man. I was like one of those guys that was a huge supporter of him at the beginning of the year and beginning of last year. because I remember that Giants-Saints game just so vividly. It was like his debut after he was injured for like 5 weeks. And I just remember 13 catches, 160 yards, two touchdowns. And it's like, this guy is a, he's the classic. This guy is a problem. Like he was, I mean, he is electric when he gets the ball in his hands. He's just an idiot. And Andy Reid runs a very complicated offense. Turner talked about it with Rashee Rice, where it's like, it's really impressive what he's doing, not just as a rookie receiver, but in an Andy Reid offense, which is very complicated. Like, you know, you have a lot of option routes. You have to be able to sit down in zone, read defenses, and he picked it up quick. Rashee, like, Kadarius Toney, his dream is just man-to-man defense. I'm going to burn somebody.
That's a great point, Viv, because even
just
during,
during
the regular season, even, like, when he was playing more minutes or more snaps compared to now, it was still like only 20% of the snap share of wide receivers. He only had a very small package that he would work out of and get a lot of targets out of it, but wasn't making the most of them.
What happened to Sky Moore? Is Sky Moore is he alive?
He's out for the season as well. Wide receiver number one coming into the year. That was a pipe dream for about 2 weeks. Quickly realized. Yeah, not a great player either, but it's all right. Had a touchdown last in the Super Bowl as well. So always a chief forever.
Okay, Turner, I want to ask you, which headline do you want to talk about first? We can do it three different ways.
Mr. Irrelevant, Brock Purdy.
Okay, we can do that first. That's fine. Cerrone, as somebody who is not from Iowa, doesn't have a familiarity with Brock Purdy at Iowa State, I assume, what is your opinion on this quarterback that is going to be in a Super Bowl and very well could have been in his second Super Bowl in a row if he hadn't gotten hurt last year in the NFC Championship? Okay, so are you a system guy?
No. Fun fact, I was actually at the 49ers game with Phil Giudice when they played Miami and Purdy went in and won that game. And he was going crazy. This guy played it because we're talking about their backup is this guy from Iowa. This that blah blah. And he went in and tore it up. I for a while thought that you could just plug pretty much any white quarterback into that team and
Nick
you'd
Mullins.
Be successful. But yeah, but the come from the Detroit Lions win was impressive. That shut me up. Yeah, you got to give it to this guy. I think he's got some, he's got some dog in him. He does. And, he's also super religious, which, those guys always do well. I don't know if it's because of God, kind of makes me want to go to church. I'm like, who is this God guy? Like I got to, start a relationship with him because, everybody's doing great. Stroud,
I think it's
Purdy.
A mental thing where you're just religious. You're like, I got God on my side, and when you 100% believe that,
yeah, you surrender.
Like,
you're like, listen, he's gonna
like they got somebody on their back. That's
yeah, literally,
God.
Like, bro, I literally bought. Where's my? I got a Bible somewhere. I'm like, who is this God guy? I gotta start talking to him because these guys are successful.
They're crushing it. Imagine if you talked to God before every podcast. Imagine if God was a guest on this pod. How many plays it would get? Like, how many people would
have a long
honestly,
talk with me? I'm very clear with the devil. Me and the devil have, we speak often.
He might get more plays on a podcast, too, honestly. People are tapping into that kind of energy a little bit more than the positivity.
Yeah, I feel like the devil's a lot funnier, more sense of humor. that's the thing with the Bible. I'm reading the Bible, and there's no silly gooses in the Bible, which I can't relate to anybody. But just some guy cracking jokes. But I don't even know where this question started. Oh yeah, Purdy. I think Purdy. Purdy. He's got some dog in him. I do believe in him a lot more because a kid like that with not too much experience to come. I mean, down 17 against the line to win that game. To get even against the Packers too, like that last drive. I think he does have what it takes. And I think the 49ers will win this game.
Berg, did this ever seem feasible in your wildest dreams when he was your quarterback for what, 4 years? He was the starter at Iowa State for four years, right? Did you ever see this happen? Even in your wildest dreams, like let's say like you're like the best result possible for Brock Purdy's career when you're high as fuck junior year on a couch, like I think that he could play in a championship in the XFL or the UFL with Dwayne The Rock Johnson presenting him a championship trophy.
No chance.
No chance. I didn't even – like that wasn't on the wildest dreams radar. Wildest dream was, hey, wouldn't it be cool if he started for an NFL team? And then he did for the 49ers. So it was like we did it. Iowa State got a quarterback out there because watching him play at Iowa State as good – yeah, we did it. As good as he was at Iowa State, he – really like wasn't that he was good for Iowa State. They're not a good football program, and so he really brought some good change the culture around. Everybody was really happy to be winning with him. You know, he took us to postseason in college football, and that was fun going to bowl games. But like, he was never that guy ever that you would think would take this step and make a Super Bowl. So, I mean, Iowa State Nation, Cyclone Nation's fully behind him. We all know who I was probably rooting for, the 49ers. The whole state, but no, not in my wildest dreams did I imagine he'd be starting in a Super Bowl. I think there's a lot that took to happen for him to get there, but I mean, when we're comparing like Ricky Stanzi and Brock Purdy, Brock Purdy has a better postseason than Ricky Stanzi. I think that's wild.
Yeah, like NFL career. I almost think it's like, I think he's the real deal. Like, he has NFL arm talent. He moves in the pocket. He makes quick decisions. He makes reads. It makes me question Matt Campbell at Iowa State. What was he doing with him, Breece Hall, Charlie Kohler, that they couldn't, you know, get to 10 wins? But that's besides the point. Purdy, I'm a big fan of him, but I think this is going to be a tough matchup this week, and they're going to need a big performance out of CMC because Chiefs want you to throw the ball. They want you to throw it at their secondary, start making some plays that way. But Purdy's gonna have to use his legs. They're gonna have to get CMC involved early, and it'll be a good game, good matchup.
He is. I don't know who to compare him to. I don't know if, like, I guess like
he's kind of Drew Breesy.
I was gonna say like middle career, yeah. Russell Wilson ish, where like he doesn't like,
yeah, okay,
awe you with like his like speed or anything like that. But he always seems to just have instincts in the pocket. Definitely more likable, yeah, than Russell Wilson. But
I feel like Alex Smith is a good comp.
I think he's more talented. I think he might be a little bit more talented than Alex Smith. And Alex Smith was great. I liked Alex Smith. I'm not underrating Alex Smith here. This is an Alex Smith podcast. Berg.
I think Alex Smith would use his...
He was a 2017 MVP frontrunner at one point.
Alex... okay. Hang the banner.
Week four?
Alex Smith was good at using his legs to like pick up first downs, but he was never great at using his legs to extend plays to look downfield.
Right.
Purdy keeps his eyes downfield really well when he's extending plays.
And people are giving the offense and Shanahan a lot of credit, but I just him or Jimmy Garoppolo, which one do you actually think is a better quarterback, not just for the 49ers, but just in general? Like, because they're both gotten this team to the Super Bowl against the Chiefs, ironically. But I'm probably taking Purdy because of that agility in the pocket. Also more reliable and probably not going to get hurt, even though the NFC Championship game happened last year. But there's just kind of like this element to him where he believes in himself so fully, it's not a false confidence because he's earned it. Go ahead, Turner.
It's God.
The best attribute Brock Purdy has right now. People keep saying, you know, like his teammates are carrying him to the Super Bowl in some ways, right? Well, they wouldn't be able to have such a stacked team if Brock Purdy was making less than $1 million a year.
Sure. Right. Last pick in the draft. And also, like, same draft as Trey Lance. Trey Lance did not turn into this. So that is a credit to Mr. Irrelevant, the last pick in the draft versus the third pick in the draft and Trey Lance. This was supposed to be him. And Brock Purdy, against all odds. And at the same time, you know, he went to Iowa State and Lance is from what, North Dakota State? So it's maybe we just shouldn't overthink these things as much. Don't draft Malik Willis if you went to fucking Liberty. So many of these quarterbacks that play in the NFL now at least played in a Power 5 school. He's a Power 5 guy. I think that the draft, they overthink those kinds of things a little bit. Cerrone, you are unbiased in this regard. This is the thing that I wanted to lead with. But, you know, Turner, I like that you brought up Purdy first. We'll do Mahomes in a second. Let's just ask the simple question, because I know where these two guys stand. I know where I stand. Kelce or Kittle?
Oh, Jesus Christ. The stupidest question of all time, dude.
No, we're doing it right now. If you don't want to do it, Reesburg, then give an excuse why not to do it.
Are you saying right now this play over the course of the season?
This year, this game, this season, who would you rather have going into this Super Bowl?
This game.
This game.
Kelce.
Kelce.
That's a question?
I think Kelce... Yeah, like we kind of talked about, there was that little lull in the season. I even had him in fantasy where he started dating Taylor and there was the media and the news and he's dropping passes and you could tell he's getting to his head a little bit. And, you know, he's doing the podcast, but like dude, he had fucking 11 catches in the first half against the Ravens. For Christ's sake. you know, just cover the guy. I can't believe I'm still talking about this game.
No more Ravens.
It's going to – 3 years from now, we're going to be talking about Kelce catching 10 balls. But, like, yeah, dude, just very simply, he's been there. He's done that. I like Kittle, but, yeah, Kelce is just he's just – right now he's him. He is him. He's dating, you know, his girl's winning Grammys, and fucking on top of the world. Like, who else would you want to trade lives with than
I
Kelce?
Regret asking you this question. God, you're the worst. You're one of them. You're one of them, Cerrone.
I'm a big Kittle fan.
But that's my honest – I'm not going to come on here and lie and say Kittle. I would rather – I'd rather have Kelce for this game. I mean, for fuck's sake, the guy – he's a playoff. He's a Super Bowl winner. Yeah, Kittle, he's a dog, but I don't know. I mean, dude, Kelce's just so good right now. And he's on top. He's got so much momentum. Fucked. But yeah,
Turner, you've abandoned your alumni. Hawks in the NFL. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, I love, like, the clip of Kittle stuffing a D end and, like, yelling and giving off a great block. But when has blocking ever been more important than catching the fucking ball downfield? It never has been, ever. Like, nobody – if you wanted to focus on good blocking tight ends, then – we would be talking about, like,
Jeremy Shock.
Mo Alley Cox, dude. I don't fucking know.
But it's not like he's a bad receiver. He's not electric when he gets the ball in his hands. He makes ridiculous plays.
Over 11 playoff games, Ralph, he averages 40 yards per game. And he has 2 touchdowns over 11 games. Travis Kelce has the most receptions in playoff history. And he can see and read a defense like no other guy. Half the time he's open, it's all because of him. Kittle, on the other hand, unreal talent, unreal blocker. Are probably the best tight end over the course of this season this year with his durability and being able to play all the games, had a great season. But a lot of that is getting schemed open and being asked to, you know, run into these massive open spots in the field that Shanahan is scheming up for him versus Kelce's just reading the zone defense and sitting down left and right.
I wanted to ask who you think the matchup is actually more favorable for, Turner, because, you know, we think of the Niners, their defense. The first thing you think of is these cover linebackers and Warner. And Greenlaw's not as good of a cover linebacker, but he's solid. But Warner's probably the best in the league other than Roquan, maybe better in coverage. Versus Kittle, who's going to be going against. Is Nick Bolton back in this game?
Nick Bolton will be back. Willie Reed is the one that – or Willie Gay was out. Hopefully he's back. Has some
Willie Gay
to build,
was out,
but
that's
we'll probably see Justin Reed out of the safety position matched up
covering
with Kittle as much as anybody in coverage.
And he's great. I love Justin Reed.
Love
good
that
kicker.
Matchup.
He's got the Ocho Cinco vibe where he just comes in and he can just punt that ball. All right, I'll make the Kittle argument really quick, and I'm not going to waste your time because Riesberg obviously is just urging to just spew some Kelce orgasms. I think that he is – for this game, just for this game, I think that there is an intensity and an energy that's going to come from him that he's already so high, he's already 150% every game, that I think that this one means so much to him. And I'm not saying it doesn't to Kelce, because I think the thing about Kelce and Mahomes that separates them from everybody else is they're more competitive than everybody else. And they prove that time and time again where push comes to shove, like they are just making every play. And it's not because Kelce's more athletic than anybody. He just wants it the most. But I think that Kittle, you can probably make an argument that if anybody wants it more than Kelce, I think it's him. There's that clip that Cerrone talked about. You know, he's standing on the field. He's manifesting, I will be back here. And that stuff can be corny, but as an Iowa Hawkeye, like, I love it when my tight ends are saying stuff like that. And I love the blocking. And I don't think that blocking is more important than receiving. I think that if you're to combine the two talents, which is what that position is, I think Kelce is certainly a better receiver than Kittle. But I think that Kittle is the quote-unquote, if it's the, you know, traditional tight end position, I'd rather have that guy personally because I'm not always going to have Mahomes. I'm just not. And, you know, you credited Shanahan for the Kittle success. You could say the same thing about Andy Reid and Mahomes. And I know Kelce's sitting against coverages really well, but, like, he learned that from somebody. That's just the way that these things work. He's not doing this by himself. He's doing it with literally the greatest improviser at the quarterback position of all time. Tom Brady is brilliant. He's the best quarterback I've ever seen. But he was snap decisions quick. Mahomes is able to do both of those things where he can be surgical in the short game, but he can also use his legs and point, and Kelce just reads it, and they just have this team chemistry. I'm not sure if Kelce was doing that with Alex Smith at quarterback.
Do you think that Kittle wants this more than he wanted the first Super Bowl when they were there in 2019?
I think you have to. Once you lose one, I think Shanahan does too, and Shanahan probably wanted it super bad after blowing a 28-3 lead as the OC for the Falcons. But this is – I mean, I would personally.
Yeah, just wondering. Because, I mean, with that passion argument, you just think he, if he's that passionate guy, he wanted it in 2019 just as bad as 100%. You're arguing right now.
Well, I'm the saying that
didn't make sense. I like Kittle.
No, no, no. That point. No. Let's shit on each other. Let's do it. Come on. There.
Hey, it's here's good. Kelce's intensity last game. I mean, Cerrone was watching. He was chippy the whole game.
Getting I love that.
Personal fouls. Kyle made the way to help himself. He was being a chippy little asshole the whole game.
He was.
Oh yeah.
Do your Kelce, right, Reesburg. Why do you think he's the GOAT? No, not yet. Come on, Reesburg.
Two-time Super Bowl tight end Blake Bell might be a little more in the argument than George Kittle.
Noah Gray, Blake Bell. We're doing the rings argument now. Once you resort to the rings argument, that's when you're going to lose me.
Yeah, true.
All right, we got to do Mahomes before we do Spit or Swallow. Does he immediately become the second greatest quarterback of all time if he wins this game?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Is there an argument?
I think there's definitely an argument. Montana has 4.
Yeah.
Brady has 6 or 7. I forgot.
7.
I do appreciate this about NFL football. It's like, can we just, like, the NBA, it's always a list. We got to compare all these greats from this era, from that era. Like, Joe Montana was playing a different game. Like, Mahomes is obviously going to be the better player because look at how far we've came with just, like, athleticism and, you know, the game of football. Right. And then it all comes down to this conversation of greatness and what are we doing? I don't know. It's a tough conversation to have in general. And I like that NFL as a whole is less derogatory in some ways to like previous generations to build up current generations.
Definitely better than the NBA, 100%. And the old guys celebrate the new guys a hell of a lot more. Where Joe Montana and Steve Young are the first ones to admit, like, I could never do what Lamar Jackson did. Like, we should give this guy more credit. Whereas Charles Barkley's like,
yeah,
Brandon Ingram's too high to be playing basketball. And it's like, come on, Chuck. Like, you don't got to say
Pierce
that.
Paul Pierce is always talking shit. That little pod that him and KG do.
Yeah.
I mean, Paul Pierce hates the clips are everybody hilarious. In the NBA right now. Yeah, I don't know if that's a bit, but he like
basketball's
no
just toxic,
Paul
and
no
also
respect for
he looks drunk in a lot of those clips. Like we have to say that about Paul Pierce, he always has sunglasses
I don't know if he's
on.
Mentally good,
I would say that knowing Paul Pierce, he's probably pretty drunk. Why do you think the NFL is a lot less toxic than the NBA though?
I think the NFL is
NBA
just
more thuggish.
I don't know. I think it's more of a team sport. More of a gladiator sport. Like, you have to kind of, you know, the work that everybody's putting in to get out on the field. Like, you know, the injuries that everybody's playing through versus basketball. There's just so much more ego involved. And that's why those players are typically as good as they are because they have the biggest egos and they have to have that belief. Where NFL, a little bit, you have to sacrifice your ego.
Yes. And I would also say that the media personalities now in like the NFL, like it's like Ryan Clark on ESPN, who was a safety for the Steelers, but he wasn't Paul Amalu. It's Shannon Sharp might be like the best football player that became a media personality. Randy Moss is on Monday Night Football, but you know, he's a pretty positive guy for the most part. Whereas with the NBA, it's Shaq, who's one of the 10 best players ever. Charles Barkley, one of the 30 to 40 greatest players ever. And so they have like these platforms, KG, Paul Pierce, who just retired recently, where they are, you know, what they say, I think carries a little bit more weight because of their status in the game versus like, okay, I'm hearing from Boomer Esiason, who was a quarterback in the 90s that I've never watched highlights of, but like everybody's seen a Shaq highlight. So they're like, oh shit, Shaq said something. I have to pay attention to what Shaq said. When on those TNT games, those guys admit to falling asleep while the games are on and then they watch the highlights and then they talk about it after. Uh-huh. Like they're not, but it, like Nate Burleson is one of the biggest media personalities. That guy was like a third string receiver for most of his career. So I think there's a comparison there.
And part of the reason push back is I already see like shades of LeBron versus MJ that started taking place in like 2008. I swear to God. And we had to just listen to that for now 16 years where we don't even have that conversation anymore. It's already been so debated and drawn out. Like what, who even gives a shit, even though LeBron's still putting up, you know, numbers in the league. And I feel like we're just going to get to that point with Mahomes and Brady before we even know it. Like, can we just pump the brakes a little bit? He's got a lot of career left. And we'll start to evaluate it once we've seen a, like more of the full body of work that he's going to put in. It's a fun conversation. There's reasons why Bill Simmons types are drawn to that because they're legacy discussers versus like other people that maybe do a little bit more X's and O's and breakdown of the game.
Well, let me ask a more specific Mahomes-related question then, because What is the evolution of him? Because I think he's a better quarterback now than he was when he won his first Super Bowl. Is it because, like, he's, you know, taking the easier plays? He's not deep ball hunting. He's, like, less Jameis Winston now, more Tom Brady-ish. And we don't have to use that name. But, you know, more Drew Brees-ish, where he's standing in the pocket and then going out. And he's not always forcing the big play, because that's what drew us to him originally. Like, you remember his, not rookie year, but his second year, his first year starting. It was like, holy fuck, this guy can make every throw. And not only can he, but he will. Like, he'll take the shot. But now it's, you know, we watched that Ravens game. What was the longest reception? Was it the MVS reception? It seems, you know, I'm sorry.
Probably was. Cerrone.
It's like, it's a 40-yard ball versus, you know, a 75-yard.
Yeah, when you have Tyreek Hill, you know, that's a huge part of it. I mean, look at the Dolphins. Tua is throwing the ball fucking 300 yards. I mean, you just, he had to adapt to who he's got, and, you know, it worked. And yeah, it
although
does,
to that
you know,
point,
you have
he
to be
had
better
Tyreek
to adapt
Hill.
Like that.
He had Tyreek Hill for his second year, too. There was just a lot of regression. It was mostly people figuring him out. He quickly came on to realize that. And I guess, I don't know what the point here is, but I think there's a lot of maturity from Mahomes at the end of the day. You know, he's not, he's like you were saying, he's not taking that deep shot every time. He's dissecting. He's being a lot more surgical. I think mentally he's a lot more mature. He's talked about this Super Bowl versus last Super Bowl. He was in with the, in the Bucks when they were trying to back to back it. And just the different mentality he's trying to bring to it. I think he's a completely different player. I think he's aged like 10 years and four.
He's got, right. He got his ass kicked up and down the field so much in that Bucks Super Bowl trying to run around that he was like, we got to change everything. Because this was, I think that game specifically, he ran more yards scrambling than any other quarterback had the whole season, just running for his life.
Running away from Vita Vea, all of those guys.
He was a little dinged up. Last year he had the turf toe, and I think he's like, you know what, football is fucking hard. And you know what's hard on your body is sprinting around the whole game. If I can learn how to dice it up in the pocket... look how long Brady and Drew Brees and Peyton Manning's careers lasted because they were able to figure out that part of the game. Like, your athletic ability will start to leave you, but the mental side's what's going to carry you deep into your career.
And to go from one great to another, my favorite version of Reesburg is when he just pulls the Michael Scott meme and he's like, sometimes I will start a sentence and I don't know where I'm going. I love off the cuff Reesburg just improvising on the fly. That's my favorite version of him. So, before we move into Spit or Swallow, I think we should celebrate Reesburg, but let's take a quick break. All right. Okay, coming back from the break, we're going
please don't do that.
We're going straight into Spit or Swallow. If you haven't listened to this before, if you haven't seen this before, this segment, it's actually the first time we're doing it on YouTube. Spit is very simple. It's something that disgusts us. We hear about it and we spit take. We're drinking water and we say, pah. Don't want any more of that. Swallow is exactly what you think it is. It is, give me some more of that. All up in my tummy. I could drink that up all day. Okay? So, who wants to start? I think we go with Turner. I like when Turner starts off on a positive note.
Yeah.
Let's go Swallow. Reesburg said on the pre-call show that he's swallowing everything, so we'll go to him next. But we got to start with Turner. Give us a good swallow.
Yeah, I'm swallowing college basketball home court advantage. I've been tuning into a lot more college basketball recently, and you know what? It's been fun. The crowds are fired up. They're pumped up. They're excited to be there. We were having a brief discussion about this, but like sometimes the NBA crowds this time of year are a little flat, a little dull, and those college environments just get fired up. The crowd shots and the student sections, specifically a lot of Big 12 basketball. They're probably the best conference this year. And what I will say, so if you look at the home, basically their home records, their top teams in the league this year, 13-0, 13-0, 11-1, 11-1, 12-0, 10-2, 12-2, 12-2. Out of those like eight I read, only like one of them has a winning record on the road. It's basically you go on the road, you die. It doesn't really matter who you are or what you're doing. And so it kind of, you know, it makes for some intrigue. You see some upsets. You see some goofy lines. Some teams are like, that team's not very good. They're not going to beat the top five team in the country. Well, they're favored because guess what? They're at home and it's going to get rowdy in there. So that's what we're swallowing this week. I'm just loving everything about it. It's bringing
some crowds are awesome, man. Even in football, we talked about the Michigan-Ohio State. Like, it's unbelievable the passion that college fans have, and it's awesome. It makes the sport so much better. That's a good swap.
It means so much to them. It's like, if their team beats the number five team, we beat the number five team. Like, because I was there at that game. Like, we beat the team. Yeah. And, like, where else can you go and just, like, get that wild and let loose? Like, you can't do that shit anywhere else, and it's socially acceptable. People will look at you, and you gotta get the fuck out because you're weird. You're not a normal person. So when you're at these games, dude, it is just like, I want to go to a game. I want to go to a Colorado State game and just try to blend in and just try to act like I'm one of them and just have the time of my life doing all this shit. That's just acceptable to do when you're at home playing a rowdy team.
I was watching the Kansas State-Kansas game the other night. Kansas State was at home, and they played swag, like swag and surf. Surf swag.
Swag surfing.
Surfing.
No, I got that song.
Surfing swag.
Yeah.
The Taylor Swift song.
That's how they all looked. Like, how I just sounded is how they all looked. Kansas State Ag School. You got a bunch of just guys Ag in cowboy school. Hats and camo hats, and they're just trying to swag and surf. And you're like, these guys you guys look so nerdy right now, but the passion is there, and that's just that's the great spot. Like thing about those student sections. Like Berg said, nobody gives a damn how they look, but they're on ESPN for a few million people tuning in.
So, all right, I'm not going to play devil's advocate, but I'm not even sure how to articulate this point. I am not anti-college crowd. I love the college crowds. I think I'm a Duke guy, so seeing the camera crazies goes nuts. It's always fun.
Nerds.
And even like being able to go to Hilton all the time, that place is insane. But at the same time, as a basketball purist and fan, I like neutral site locations more because I think it's a better representation of who the better team is. So that's why I think I like March Madness so much is because, and I think that's why I liked the Vegas tournament so much for the NBA. I love the neutral site. I mean, I like the home crowd advantage, but there's something about a neutral site that I just like more because I feel like we're getting a more accurate representation of who both team is. And I don't know. Does that make me sound like a fucking douchebag?
No. I get your point.
No, it makes sense.
Yeah, you go, Mike.
I don't think it's as fun. I would also say that this used to be one of the best parts about the Big 12 that they don't do anymore as the conference has changed and evolved. They used to be the only conference that every team would play each other at home and away,
right?
Which I loved. But now in some of these conference games, you might only get one team on the road, and they don't get a chance to, take them on at home. So when they both had that home and away, I was like, this is a great, you get to see both sides. Like, and who's showing up in the moment? Like, who's ready for that big shot in front of a screaming crowd to just silence them. Those neutral sites just feel a little awkward if they're a big NBA stadium and they're not filled with people versus you have some of the character that comes along with like the Cameron Arenas, the Dean Dome, Assembly Hall, Hilton Coliseum, all the great college basketball venues.
And I think it makes it a lot more exciting when you have a team that – because, for example, the Big 12, we brought it up. If you lose in your home stadium, home court, in the Big 12, that's not good. You're probably not going to win the Big 12. You need to go undefeated. So it puts a lot of pressure on these players at home to win out. And, yeah, I think you get your fair share of everything. We're just in conference play right now. But like you said, we just had a whole non-conference. There was a bunch of neutral site games. There were home games, but I mean the crowds aren't as active, but I think you're still getting your basketball purism there. And then like you said, in March you get all the neutral games, but then you also get kind of the flip side sometimes where it's a neutral game but the team's playing 10 minutes away from their fans are there.
Ralph,
I like my neutral site games on aircraft carriers.
Oh, I can't stand the aircraft carrier. It's the worst. When you see the wind affecting the ball, you're like, what the fuck is going on? This is ridiculous.
That's more ceremonial than anything. Pure form, baby. Outdoors, the hoops.
Is it too simple of a conclusion to draw that if a team plays 18 conference games and let's say they go 9-0 at home and 0-9 on the road, that they're an easy fade in like the NCAA tournament or their conference tournament? Is that too easy of a conclusion to draw, or does that sound fair?
I agree with that 100%.
Yeah.
You should say that, but then you have those teams that just figure it out in March.
Towards the end of the year, a few teams start to rise up and become the cream of the crop, and it's because there's only a few that can like actually go on the road and win, and then also obviously are winning at home too.
Okay. Well, thank you for that turn.
There's not
a
single favorite this year. I'd say UConn is kind of back at the top of their game.
Yeah.
But I feel like last year's UConn team was better than this year, so I don't know what to make of it.
I mean,
I think this UConn team is weirdly way better. They're in a tier of their own. It goes UConn, skip a few beats, Purdue, skip a lot of beats, and then everybody else.
Did we skip the Purdue
year,
beat? The Purdue beat is not real.
Conference games, people forgot about them.
There's just no way Purdue ever. They're not getting over that hump. I'm sorry.
The whole tournament, but
I think they might get over that hump. Edie is a pissed off big 7-foot dude right now. He's just dominating everything.
Yeah, he's the like
big
the
Ten
number one,
no competition
right?
to him. I'm
he's
sure he gets dominated sometimes when games get a little too physical, but no, Edie's on revenge tour, and this might be the one year that
he's
I buy
those guys
Purdue,
too. He's
even
been
though
around
he's so
for...
unsexy, so unmarketable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, how long is what is this? His ninth
it's
year?
His fourth year, and he has another
that's
year.
That's
got to
be a lie.
Dude, 4 years in
it's
college
like the Timmy
feels like
brothers,
forever.
Or the...
And he started every year, too, so it feels like he's been around forever.
Maybe that's why, because he started. It just some of these guys crack me up when March Madness rolls around. You just it's like, dude, this guy's still in, like Timmy, like all those guys, like is this his ninth year? That's just it is weird how it seems like they've been playing forever, but it's his fourth year. That's fucked.
What pisses me off about Matt Painter too is I saw this just the other day. Next year they have a 7'3" recruit coming in out of Chicago. He's just going to run it back, dude. He's bringing in another 7'3" guy. You're not going to see him his freshman year. If Edie comes back for his senior year, just has him beat up on him in practice for a year.
Senior citizen year.
Yeah.
He'd be going for a 3-time national player of the year. That'd be unheard of. And it'd be for a guy like Zach Edie, of all people. Who,
are you swallowing Zach Edie, Reesburg? It sounds like that's who you're swallowing, Zach Edie. And yeah, he wouldn't get – I don't even know if he would get minutes in the NBA, straight up. Okay. Well, then what are you swallowing?
I agree with you as well.
What are you swallowing, Berg? Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'll swallow. So I have a few things. I'll do this one because, yeah, I'll do the. So I'm swallowing the Spider-Verse albums in general. I was listening to them today. They're so fucking good. I need to know
Metro.
Who's in charge of that. I need to know
Metro.
The creative behind it. They always have like a Fire Juice WRLD song on there for some reason. Don Toliver on this latest one went hard. Coil Array, too. I mean, these albums should not go as hard as they do. I think they're the hardest albums that belong to a movie ever. And I don't think they'll ever be touched.
I'm going to make a great audible.
That was your number one movie of 2023.
Go ahead, Mike.
So I had literally on this paper, I was going to go with a different swallow, but what I had first that I crossed out was the Tarzan soundtrack. Phil Collins going on, dude. That's like a album, like cover to cover, one of the greatest movie soundtracks of all time. I throw on Two Worlds, Strangers Like Me, Trash in the Camp. It's nostalgic. It takes
Trash
you
in
back.
The camp.
I know every word. I sing at the top of my lungs. That I can't believe you said that because that's where I was. It just kind of popped up on my shuffle.
And then you'll
week.
Be in my
and,
heart.
Yeah, dude. I want to dance. That's gonna be like my first dance at my wedding. Like seriously, like it's unbelievable. It's like sometimes movies have these soundtracks where, yeah, you think that the albums would never be good, but sometimes they just slap. Like
and why?
It's crazy.
Like, I just want to know what was that process where the composer, the director, whoever was just. In their bag, they're like, you know what? I know I already got paid. Like, we have the money, but I'm going to do something special for this. And to your point, I'm actually going to concede what I said and agree with you that is the best soundtrack of all time.
As a big
Phil Collins fan, as a big Tarzan lover, I'm with you.
That was my original. I'll do my other one too. But, yeah, dude, just you don't realize – what I was saying was you don't realize how much more – it makes the movie great when it has a great soundtrack.
100%.
I feel like that's a very underrated. One of the things I always wanted to do was to score a movie other than act in it. But I just think that'd be so cool. I think it adds so much to the movie, like Rocky and like those movies that have those like classic soundtracks. But yes, Phil Collins, those songs will come on shuffle every now and then. And it's nostalgic. It takes you right back. It's like sing along. And they really have no business really going that hard on a movie soundtrack, but when they do, it makes the movie that much better. And you know, yeah, it pops on shuffle and Spider-Man, like those albums are kind of crazy. So yeah, shout out Phil.
Shout out Phil.
The other swallow was I'm swallowing, and along with, it seems to be every hot A-list woman in the country, I'm swallowing Pete Davidson. This is a little bit over, you know, obviously last year was his lair, last year was his year, but he just got caught leaving his comedy show in Philly like 2 days ago with Madison Klein. Or whatever.
You're
the fuck
fucking
the
kidding
Outer
me.
Banks girl.
Another one?
Yeah. So that's who it is.
I don't know
another
what
one.
This DJ guy,
dude, he's got a Derek Jeter doing. Roster. That's insane.
I don't know what he's doing. I guess he's got a pretty big Peter on him, but like a lot of guys have big pieces and can't figure it out.
Drake included.
But yeah, yeah. But like this, I've never seen a run. I mean, there's no one that this guy hasn't hit. That is unbelievable. God, it's unreal that he keeps doing that. And like the thing is, like, I mean, even like when you start to like get that label as like a player or a fuckboy, like girls start to kind of lean away from you because it's like, oh no, I'm not gonna. You know, this guy has that label and just keeps knocking them down. It's you gotta give credit where credit's due.
He deserves it. Fuck it, dude.
And yeah,
I give up.
Again with him. You know, Madison, it's like, dude, that girl is she's insanely hot.
He drafted her on the hottest TV chicks draft, like, a week and a half ago.
Yeah. And then you just Petey. Just leaving, you know, you just imagine just going to a stand-up show, just crushing, and then leaving with her. It's like, man, what is this guy doing?
Life's
what
not
is
fair.
He saying?
Life's not fair.
What is it? Yeah, some guys just got it all.
We
got to
put a GoPro on him and pick up some of this game because, you know, I think all four of us definitely have game, but what do we got
to
do to do
this? To be a fly on the wall, man. He's like a good, you know, he's got a good jawline. He's a decent looking
dude. Oh, we're going
down
that route now? You're really
like
swallowing him.
It's
Jesus.
Well, he's not like Jacob. Well, this is what I'm saying, though. He's not like Jacob Elordi, where, like, that guy's the hottest guy ever.
He just
like,
got in trouble, too,
Pete
though.
Davidson is.
He just got busted for.
He got in trouble?
Yeah, you guys didn't see this? Oh, okay. I can break some news to you guys. Okay, so Jacob Elordi, I think he was in Australia or something along those lines. Hollywood Reporter reported it, and somebody insulted Saltburn, and he kind of went euphoria mode. Where he took like it was like a photographer or something like that, and he choked the guy out and threw him against a wall with his hand on his neck, and yeah, there's like
is he getting a big role coming up soon?
Well, is he a little juiced
in
up?
Euphoria, he plays I can't remember the guy's fucking name, and if anybody that watches Euphoria,
Nate.
Yes, he's Nate. Evil in that, like absolutely just a terrible person. And, you know, I can imagine it because I've seen that show, him doing that to, like, a nerd photographer that's like, Saltburn didn't have, you know, Superbad came out in 2007 and that movie set in 2006. He's like, fuck you. That movie rules. It doesn't matter. Saltburn's the best. Like, I'm glad I didn't see him and talk about Saltburn to him.
I mean, I've been interested to, like, okay, we've seen Jacob Elordi, like, play some of these characters, so I was super interested to see how he would perform on SNL, because I'm like, I don't think this guy's funny. Like, I couldn't see him as being, like, a lead rom-com guy. And honestly, yeah, it was a little disappointing of a performance out of him on SNL.
Yeah, he's just really hot.
I did not find him that funny.
He's a dramatic
actor.
Didn't
really seem to have the comedic timing I was looking for. So, a little disappointing. I went in there, open eyes, open arms. I was like, I want to see something, because honestly, some of his interviews, decent. Speaking of SNL, Pete Davidson, deals beget deals, baby. Once you get with, like, Kate Beckinsale, Madeline Klein, she wants to get with whoever got with Kate Beckinsale. Like,
Fuck, you're so
once
right.
Once you get that roster.
Yeah.
Ariana Grande's ex.
Yeah. Beckinsale's
he's just
time.
Knocking them down, though. And it's just
deals
like.
Beget deals.
Deals like, beget
else,
deals.
Who's left? Who's next?
I don't know.
There's no one. I don't
honestly,
know.
Though, he's
the Cavender twins.
He got a little like he kind of went a little Cougar Nation for a little bit.
Kim K.
Kind of went a little older between Beckinsale and Kim K. Then he kind of got really young with Kaia Gerber and now Klein. It's like
yeah, Kaia Gerber too.
Yeah.
Fuck off!
Yes,
I hate this guy, dude.
Started
oh, he's the worst.
Damn. It's unreal. So I'm swallowing fucking Pete Davidson.
Yeah, the biggest dick in the industry.
Phil Collins.
All right, good for you. God, that's terrible. So has everybody done their swallows? Yeah. I'm the last one? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm swallowing Jay-Z. And we talked about the Grammys a little bit the other night. But he went up and accepted like a Lifetime Achievement Award kind of thing. And he told the Grammys essentially that they were fucking idiots because Beyonce has the most Grammys of all time, but she's never won Album of the Year. Now Taylor Swift has the most Album of the Year wins of all time for any artist, which is insane, especially when you consider that she has four of them. Beyonce doesn't have one. So I went on a Jay-Z kick this week, and guys, just, I mean, he's the best. Like, he is the GOAT. It's unbelievable. I think I said it to you, Cerrone. We were riding back from the hood one day while we were knocking, and I was like, dude, if we listened to Jay-Z every day and that's all we did, we would go from selling pest control during the day to selling crack at night, and we'd be billionaires by 30. And I still kind of believe that, man. I'm working my 9-to-5 today. I'm like kind of tired. I'm like, what's really going to wake me up? So I go for like a 20-minute walk, and I just put on the Blueprint. Dude, the ruler's back, man. H to the Izzo. Yeah. Hov is the absolute god. At 24 Grammys, tied with Kanye, I think for like second place all time, something along the line. Definitely the most for a rapper. But, I mean, he just talks money every time he speaks. So I'm kind of like on this late 90s, early 2000s rap kick where I'm just bumping Hov and then a little bit of Cameron. And Cameron's kind of like having a renaissance right now. And so I listen to a freestyle of Cameron on Funk Flex. And I'm just, it's like Turner talking about Larry June. Like, I'm trying to get my money up, not my funny up, dog. Like,
yeah. It's crazy I'm on Hov status. Music,
Mr. Nice Watch.
Yeah. It's crazy how much, I realize this. It's crazy how much you don't realize the how much the music you listen to affects your day to day, like the way you move through days and your goals. And like when I listen to a lot of country, bro, like I get sad and think about girls that don't want me.
100%.
Like I'm not even, it's unbelievable. Like I catch myself. I'm like, bro, put on some Key Glock. And then I'm like, all right, fuck it. Let's make moves. Let's make videos. Let's kill this audition.
I got home from practice tonight. I parked right outside on my street. You can see, you know, the metropolis behind me. I just stood on my corner for 20 minutes. Just stood there. And I was like, yo, what's good? This is my block.
Did anybody come up?
Just anybody selling shit. But yeah, dude,
they paid their respects. They paid homage to the guy.
No way he ran into anybody, Turner. Is JT top five?
I wonder what this podcast inspires people to do. Sound off in the comments below.
What's this pod make you want to do? They're like, I don't know, watch porn, beat off, play Fortnite.
I don't think JD's in my top five.
Bordy's dumb inspired then, huh?
Yeah, Bordy's hella inspired by us. No, I mean, we can do top five another time, Berg, but you know my top five, dog. But yeah, no, I'm just swallowing hope.
That's why I asked.
But I kind of want to go into my spit next, too, because it's one of my other goats.
Snake draft, go backwards.
Yeah, let's do
it's fine.
The Drake dick pic. I haven't seen it. And everybody's talking about it today. I saw a glimpse of it. I saw a very blurry image of it, and then photoshopped an eggplant emoji over it, and it looks big, but like I just thought that Drake was untouchable and that this would never happen. And it sounds like he's slipping up a little bit, you know, and that's my guy, like Cerrone. Turner Reesburg, we've all done pods. Pods on him.
You thought Drake couldn't slip up a little bit? Adonis was like the first sign. It's no offense to the
but that's
the
different.
Homie.
That's a kid, you know. Like he loves that kid. He's cherishing it. He's taking him to Knicks games on a Saturday afternoon.
You can't be sending dick pics.
But the dick pic is tough.
You just can't.
That's different. Like he's Snapchatting like somebody, and they're the NDA wasn't signed, or it was, and somebody's abandoning their contract. So. I don't know. Like, did you guys see it? Do you guys have any thoughts on Drake's cock?
I just saw the eggplant. I saw the same blurred one, which you kind of think, you know, it's just a dude with, like, you know, the phone is in front of his face. It does look like it'd be him. But the way AI works these days and the way, like, has he spoken on it yet?
He could be. I don't know if it was true that I saw an Instagram story. He was like, well, oh, shit. I don't even know what it said. It could be a psyop. It could just be a Drake psyop, though. Maybe he's just trying to get this out there, AI'd himself.
Maybe. For some he's already so he doesn't need that.
Yeah, it's not like it's a bad thing for him. Apparently, it's enormous. Like, I know a girl that posted it, and it was a video of Drake, and he's talking. I think it's on fucking Problems, who's like, this long dick motherfucker, whatever. And the caption was, this man told no lies. And then the girl that like posted it was like, yeah, he didn't. And I was just like, damn, dude. Like, I wish somebody would leak some of that cool about me.
Some guys just got it all.
I did see the video.
Pete Davidson, for Christ's sake.
Oh, Reesburg's on the video.
He's got a missile.
He's got a missile.
He's got a missile. He's got a huge. You wouldn't expect it. Why does this guy have all these girl problems? Why is he always in his bag, getting all emotional with a rocket like that?
It discredits some of the music. You're like, why is he always so sad?
It discredits some of the music. Yeah. It's like, I don't feel sorry for you. I don't feel sad, boy. You know, connected with you.
Suck it up, man.
Like, yes,
it could be. It could be a whole lot worse, buddy.
Yeah, he's got some of his lyrics were resurfacing today. I forget what song it was. I saw it on I saw it.
Is it bigger than yours,
dude? It's probably like. It's probably like 8 inches in a video.
Would you probably?
It's as big as that. It's as big as that can, or maybe bigger. I can't tell.
Yeah, I would say mine's probably as big, not as thick as this, but it's probably as long as this. So, yeah, fuck you, Drake.
Yeah, I'll see you in the club. I mean, you know, I got no shame on
my wait till
dick.
I get my hands on Madison Klein.
Wait till you get your hands on a fake dick.
She's
that's that
be
big, dude.
Because
like you know, it could be a prosthetic. All right, so Ronnie, what are you spitting?
I'm spitting. Oh, okay. So, listen.
Looks at his notes and reminds himself.
Playboy Cardi.
Oh, all right.
Well, I had a couple. I saw a picture today. Now it's going to start with the fashion for NBA players, athletes, rappers. Some of the shit that they wear these days.
It's bad.
Are you doing that just for the publicity to stand out? You can't actually want to wear some of that shit. And then there was a Playboy Cardi pic that got posted today of him in this like crop top leather jacket, and he's going onto the bus, so he's reaching up, so his leather jacket went even higher, and he was wearing a thong. I don't know. Am I the only one that saw this?
Is that real?
It was on
a verified account. Dude, all the
it was on a verified account. You know that doesn't mean anything in today's day and age.
That's also very true. I'm a verified account. Yeah, I post dumb shit all the time. It was like Our Generation Music, which usually has like, you know, it's all legit stuff. But you know, is that a stunt? Is that a bit? Is that something that he actually wears? The outfits are just like even with Uzi when he put the diamond in his forehead, you know, if you're like an alien species looking at this Earth, you got to be thinking, what are these idiots doing?
Like baby Pluto right there.
Yeah, I was going to say, these are the alien species. They live among us. And, you know, some of them are just going to paint their nails. And Cardi got like diamonds in his cheeks, kind of like Uzi. And that Cerrone, he can do whatever the fuck he wants as long as he keeps making music like Hood by Air, Evil Jordan, and this new wave of Cardi that's coming right now. Because if I could swallow that, it's a little bit late to swallow that. That shit is still Turner. I'm bumping it every day, dog. All five of them.
But hey,
just to
you know, maybe do that, make the music, and just wear
the clothes suck
boxers,
yeah,
and not a thong.
I'm a little thrown out by the thong.
I mean, what are we? Like that can't be it's not comfortable.
Dude.
It can't be. I mean, I don't think you know it's for women for a reason. And just like, and is he doing it on purpose to show it, to get you know the you know just the publicity and you know people talking about it and just I'm so different. Like I wear a thong. Like it's just over the top sometimes with these fits, and I saw that, and that crossed
Reese
the line.
Reese was discrediting Drake earlier because he couldn't relate anymore. It sounds like you're discrediting Playboy.
There
like,
it is. There it is. What is
it? Looks it looks like it might be dry fit or like bulletproof.
No, bro, that's his ass cheeks on
or
the left.
Bulletproof?
And right.
I hope it's bulletproof.
That's
no,
not.
No, Big Sean's the only
that's
one with
a thong, man. I've seen girls wear thongs, you know. And that's
and
what it usually looks
condoms.
Like.
Yeah, you know, it's
so,
not a great
that's
look.
What I'm,
that's what I'm spitting.
Oh, wait, no. Okay, wait, if you zoom in, I think it's the bottom of the vest because it goes over the pant around the waistband. And there's like that little
he's
like.
He's wearing a bodysuit, dude. Come on.
I mean, I'm not excusing it, but it doesn't go underneath the waistband. But at the same time, the fact that you said he wore a thong, I believed it. because, like, you know, he is
exactly
he's part of the. And they, I'm definitely with you, Russell, on like they wear the worst clothes, like the Rick Owens bullshit. Yeah, I don't care about these like fashion shows where people have like things going all the way up here on their fucking collar. Like, fuck that. Like, show
it's
me something
not wearable.
Cool.
It's, yeah,
it really looks like derelict.
Yeah, it does.
Literally. Like, if Russell Westbrook wore a thong, like, pregame, I'd be like, yeah, dude, he probably did. Like, it just, it's almost believable because half the shit they wear.
He's the GOAT.
Yeah, man, that's my spit. Just like, what are we doing?
This is reminiscent of the Ice Spice thing. Like, you're just fed up with this generation, man. Like, let's get back to,
like, the 80s and 90s, even though I didn't even know what that is because I was born in 96, but... I don't know. It's
dude, they're
like,
probably wearing
it's been a little bit too extra. It's been a little bit too extra lately with all this this hippity hoppity stuff.
Okay, is it Berg or Turner? Which one are you spitting first? I can't remember.
I go next because
Snake
started.
Yeah,
and I'm not spitting anything. I'm just swallowing a bunch of shit. I went snowboarding for the first time this year. Or for the first time ever in my life last week. So I got to swallow that because that's the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. It pushed me to my breaking point a few times.
You've had a really easy life.
You know, I felt like a Navy SEAL out there. You know, like when they're laying on the beach and the water keeps coming and they got to deal with that shit. That's what I felt like a few times. It felt that hard.
Mm.
And I was just sitting there. You know, in the ski lodge after 40 minutes going down one part of the mountain, just one part, you know, I couldn't make it 40 feet without having to emergency dismount onto my ass. And so I'm just sitting in there talking to my girlfriend you guys saw earlier. And I was like, I can't do this. I'm taking the gondola right down.
Got in my bag. Kids in Africa without clean water, they have to hike 10 miles a day just to drink shit water.
Come on.
And you're just snowboarding, thinking that are you going to claim disability with the VA after this one snowboarding trip?
I'm claiming exhaustion. I was so tired from getting up and down. And then there's also, if you don't know, the mountain, you can take different routes down. And so
Do you wear thongs?
Right.
You wear thongs too, don't you? Left.
Where's your snowboarding authority coming from right now? Are you like,
I'm a great snowboarder.
Mr. Shredder over here?
I've snowboarded since I was a kid. I tear it up. It's
exactly.
A blast. It's a privilege to be able to snowboard.
I want to see you start at 26 and then let me know how it goes.
Hand up. I would be terrible at it.
It's gotta be pretty tight.
I can't skateboard. I can't rollerblade. I can't ice skate. And I have good footwork. Like, I trust my feet as my foundation. But I'm okay, Turner. You don't have to make that face. I think I have good footwork in the paint when it comes to hoops, but like, you know, and I'm a decent dancer. Like, I'm not bad at dancing, but like, I could not snowboard to save my life. And I don't know if like, what's harder, is that or skiing?
It's tricky.
I think skiing.
They say skiing's easier.
Yeah, but snowboarding. I've done both. Snowboarding, skiing's easier, but like, you don't want to be the guy that skis. You gotta be like, snowboarding's just a lot more fun. Like, you're carving, you're going off jumps. You can a little bit cooler.
This guy sees chicken thongs. He snowboards.
I'm the dude. I'm the sickest dude ever.
I remind you guys, I did swallow.
I was also
I had a great time. I'm ready to go again. I'm just, you know, I was trying to respect that. I respect the hell out of snowboarders. Maybe not people that grew up doing it. That sounds like it's easy. But people doing it at 26. People doing it at 26, I respect the hell out of you.
Are you going to, Reesburg, we got a big ski trip coming up here in a couple weeks. Are you going to be skiing or snowboarding?
I'm going to be snowboarding, and I hope to be doing a lot better.
Attaboy.
I hope I'm not.
Yeah, don't get the hang of it.
Back. Yeah, don't get off that horse.
I'll get
bud.
The hang of it. Yeah,
I'd love to teach you. I'd love to give you a little lesson.
Yeah, you guys. I didn't know. I didn't know Turner. You're going on this ski trip. I thought this was just like a whole. So Cerrone, it sounds like we have to crash their ski trip. We're gonna pop up on them. Or like,
I would love to. Fucking
we're having way more fun skiing than you guys.
Nail.
Yeah, you guys are
coming out to
what state is it in? Fucking Iowa,
Colorado.
Oh, I'm actually that's there's good snow up there.
Yeah.
End of February. That's where I just was.
Fresh
I was in a steamboat. It was stormy. Not stormy. There was a blizzard going on, low visibility.
That's but the best time to snowboard is when it's snowing. It's fresh. You're shooting yourself in the foot here.
See, I like that.
It doesn't hurt
though,
when you fall when there's fresh snow.
And I love that part, but everybody kept saying, like, don't get used to this. And so now I'm worried the next time I go when there's not all that fresh powder to
just
be icy. Stop myself. I think it's
I like your positivity, Riesberg, about the whole situation. You're swallowing snowboarding. Yep. Even after your
I'm swallowing it. It was fun. It was a hard time. I'm still sore from it, but, you know, I think that says a lot about
David
me.
Goggins.
I'm a slow learner. I'm a slow learner. I'll pick it up, though.
Turner, what are you spitting?
I'm 26 years old learning a new thing.
Good for you, man. Teaching an old dog
new
tricks.
We should all aspire to be more like you, Scott. I'm spitting streaming. I saw today that ESPN, Warner Bros., and Fox Sports are combining to make a new streaming service for sports, basically content only. I'm so fucking sick of it. You need Hulu to watch this, Apple TV to watch that, Paramount
it
Plus,
dumb.
Peacock, etc. I've heard it all before. It's just DirecTV cable. You guys fumbled the bag. You guys could have made a better product, could have figured it out. And now here I am. I'm trying to watch BYU Oklahoma today, but I'm also trying to flip back and forth between Baylor Texas Tech.
Two different apps.
I got to go on to YouTube TV and ESPN Plus. It's just, it melts my mind how many different services we have to
you
do.
You know, there's kids in Africa.
And shit, dude. I mean, when you put it like that, sure. But from the from my couch, when I just want to be
annoying as fuck.
Lazy big ol' ass.
I used to say it too. Can't like the best it's button on the remote was the previous button, where you could just flip back to what you were just watching. That was the most satisifying button.
Yeah, I love that button.
Great button, man.
You just and go back and forth, back and forth.
Now
every
like,
time commercial, go back.
I have to turn off my Xbox controller so I don't drain my batteries while I'm watching League Pass. And if I want to go back from like one game to the other because I don't want to watch four at once because I really want to lock in on one, then it's just a headache and it's terrible. So I hear your pain, Turner. But when you have to go different apps, that's the worst. All right,
so
what are the companies that are merging? I haven't heard this release, so this is news to me.
Fox Sports, Warner Brothers, which would be like TNT,
HBO Max,
CBS, and such.
Yep.
And then ESPN.
Jesus.
So it could.
Yeah, so now you have to buy another monthly,
and that's gonna be like a
$40
package. No, that's gonna be expensive if it's
it'll
all
be
that.
Like
for sure. Yeah.
It'll probably
and
be
we'll
like
buy
a YouTube
it because we have to.
Yeah, we don't have a choice. We're fucking in a corner here. Sorry, Turner. Go ahead.
Oh no, you're good. That's all I'm spitting. You know what I am swallowing on the flip side of that is if you're living with roommates or moving in with other people, always be the guy to put your hand up and buy the TV. You're probably not going to live with those roommates forever, but their subscriptions may live on with you forever when you take that TV out of there and move on to somewhere else.
Mm, that's a great call.
Good
job, are you?
Good man.
Do you still have my HBO Max, Aroni? Are we still on that together?
I live at one Airbnb at a time now, so I got nothing. But if you want to donate that to me, I will relog in.
I owe you because I think you had the first 6 months, and I think I owe you ever since then.
Oh,
what version are you?
Watch the new True Detective.
Yeah, you could.
Are you the $15.99 a month, or are you the $9.99 with ads?
HBO
I got
Max?
The ads right now. You know, I'm not paying for it, but I'm thinking about switching to $15.99 ads. I want to blow my brains out.
On HBO Max, they have an ad-supported service.
They have levels to it now. You can get a $9.99 one with ads. I don't know why you'd ever do that. Please pay the $5 extra a month.
Yeah, I don't have any ads.
Just get it with
ads. What the fuck? Yeah.
That's the only service that I pay for.
But I can't out my source. They're still giving me HBO Max. I thank you for that.
I saw recently that they were testing out how many people, like, once they do these, you know, upgrades and start to implement the ads, that over, like, 70% of people just eat ads.
Mm.
They just say, you know what, I'm not doing it. I'm just eating these ads, which I think is crazy to me, too. But once you start doing it on every service, you got to draw a line somewhere. Ralph, I'll give you some credit here. You recently bought, I think, a couple movies on Blu-ray. Someone might say that's a weird investment, but God, it is nice to have just movies that you want to watch.
A renaissance man.
At the ready. Those can travel with you, Mike. B&B to B&B. Just, you know, a couple here and there. Maybe one rom-com, one action.
I just moved in. I just got 60 Blu-rays.
Saving Private Ryan.
I don't have a bed.
Fury.
But I have 84 Blu-ray movies.
And a Blu-ray player.
I've probably got 60 Blu-rays, somewhere in that range. I'm trying to have my 100 favorite movies of all time all on Blu-ray at some point. And I probably have like 40 of them.
That was so
right
much
now.
Fun when you would go to the store and buy just a Blu-ray DVD, rush back home, watch it.
Holy shit, Bordy just dropped the Drake missile in the chat. Jesus.
Oh, God.
Oh, that's definitely Drake. That's definitely Drake. Wow.
Rob, all right, give us your live reaction, buddy.
I don't like watching that kind of stuff. That's weird. I'm uncomfortable.
You were asking for it so much.
I was joking. You could tell by the tone of my first text that that is not my popcorn.
You're going to look at it over a tall glass of red wine tonight. Don't you lie to us.
No, it's holy. It looks fake.
Put on some Drake music in the background, too.
Is it curved left or right?
It curves for him. It curves to the right, and the video curves to the left.
Yeah,
it's a video.
Yes. About angles
of him playing with it. He's like videotaping himself and like swirling it around.
In
look at it. It's in the chat. Board just posted it.
I don't want to watch. I'll watch it after.
And then there's a lyric off Spin About You where he says, "The videos we got ever leave me going viral or going platinum." You know he's going viral with this.
That is a bar. That is definitely a bar. All right.
Yeah, but it takes on a new weird meaning that we didn't think it would now that it's just him beating it.
Yeah. Okay, popcorn
like,
picking time.
Send that to?
Do we take a break before popcorn picks really quick? I think we should probably take a break. So we'll do that, and then we'll get back to popcorn picks. All right, coming back. Now it's time for popcorn picks. I'm going to do mine first because I'm the most excited about mine. Curb Your Enthusiasm, the final season, just debuted Sunday night. Larry David is back for the final time. And, you know, the episode was great. It was good. I think that the last couple of seasons definitely haven't been like season 5, 6, or 7 level, or even season 8 for that matter. But it's still just one of the most reliable comedies of the century. I look forward to every episode. I'd forgotten, actually, that Sunday night it was coming out. And it was just kind of a nice little treat. And it's like, damn, man, I really only have 9 new episodes of Larry left before. I don't think he does anything else after this. I think he probably hangs it up. I mean, he's 76 years old, and I know you guys love Curb, Turner, and Berg. I think that you do at least. Cerrone, I'm not sure if it's as much your bag, but it's just the perfect comedy show, and I'm going to miss it so much. And, you know, Leon Black has to be one of the greatest comedy characters ever, just flat out. I mean, everything that he says cracks me up. He's talking to a dog in this most recent episode about how when you talk to a dog, they can't understand you. And it's just that kind of show where, you know, J.B. Smoove and Larry David can essentially call a dog a fat fucking idiot for like 2 minutes. And I'm just cracking up. And nobody else is pulling those tricks out anymore. And I'm worried about the state of TV moving forward because I look at all of these shows that are coming out. And it feels like a lot of the core ones are leaving us. You know, Succession is over. Atlanta is over. Game of Thrones is out. House of the Dragon is in. And I don't think House of the Dragon will ever get to that height. You know, no more Mad Men or Breaking Bad, obviously, for a long time. It's just...
Peaky Blinders is done.
It's frustrating. And True Detective, like, each season, True Detective has gotten worse. Outer Banks, I guess.
Stranger Things.
And Curb Your Enthusiasm is just...
Hey, we got one more season going of that.
So,
it's true.
Yeah. Did you guys watch the new episode of Curb? Are you guys locked in on that?
No, I'm going to let it build up and then I'll fully dive in. I'm really excited. I mean, it's one of the funniest shows. That show and It's Always Sunny, I'm just so happy those TV shows are still ongoing right now for the time being. I think they're both on their last seasons, though, so... To your point, yeah, RIP. I'm also worried about the state of television because it feels like everything coming out now sucks and I have to force myself. I'm like, yeah, I like this, but like, do I? Or do I? Is it like the best thing out right now?
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
I like that Larry did the full rollout for the last season too. Like, he was on the Today Show. He was doing interviews on podcasts. And he's just an all-around funny dude. So I was loving that he's filling up my Twitter feed because I was like, yeah, let's go. Curb's coming back. It's been, what, a year and a half, 2 years hiatus?
Yes.
And he's taken other hiatuses before, so you never know. I think people thought Curb was going to be done the first time it finished.
Season 8,
so,
yep.
Maybe we'll get like an 82-year-old Larry coming back someday.
I watched a he has been all over social media. Because I watched how they film it is there's no script.
He gives everybody a note card.
And tells the director. Yeah. Yeah. He's like, and the director's like, what are we doing? He says, I don't know. We're just going to, let's just fuck around. And that's like for me, that's a dream. God, I would love to do that with just fully in. Cause you know, you obviously improv a lot of stuff, but like just to have that much freedom, that's gotta be so much fun film that.
You look at the cast of characters too. And it's just like, you got Jeff Garland, Cheryl Hines, like Susan Rhea's character, Richard Lewis playing himself. Like all these people you already mentioned, Leon Black, J.B. Smoove, like
Vince Vaughn.
Oh my god, they're just on. They're all so good. It's just they probably could do this in their sleep at this point. They're that good at it.
You know what? Honestly, Cerrone, this would have been your perfect show, man. If you would have just because a lot of guys like started out on this show with a very small role and then they got more roles out of it.
I think that.
Damn, man.
There'll be another one.
There'll be another one.
There yeah. always will be.
You can make the next one. How about that?
Yeah, you could be our next Larry David.
It. Why not?
All you have to do is make Seinfeld.
We got a good cast.
Yeah, you just got to make Seinfeld first. That's it. Find a Jerry.
there's a lot of – I think I would fit – yeah, man. It's funny because like acting now, I see so many things. And I get this like anxiety sometimes where it's like, oh, my God, I just wish – I was in this like this. I could have done this perfectly, or I could have been there. But it's just like that's how everybody feels coming up. Like you just gotta. There'll be roles,
dude. I wish I was in this. Is what I say every time Pete Davidson starts dating somebody new. I'm like Kim Kardashian. I wish I was in that. It's just.
It's never ending.
I feel your pain.
He's not stopping anytime soon. I'll tell you that. He's hitting his stride right now.
Berg, what's your popcorn pick?
My popcorn pick. I'll go with this movie I was talking about a lot over the weekend with this dude. He was a big nerd about it, too. I got to go with a little movie probably from mid-2000s, Brad Pitt, called Troy. They recreate the Iliad. Troy, Brad Pitt plays Achilles, and
great
he's
film.
Just a Greek goddess of a human being, sculpted from head to toe, has beautiful poetic lines in it. And then aside from that is just the most athletic superhuman specimen designed to kill people. I just like the film. I don't know why it resonates with me. I feel like it resonates with a lot of guys for some reason, probably because it's about
you're a lot like Troy.
Badass, yeah, war things going on. Well, that's the city. I don't want to be like Troy. They end up getting sacked.
Well, you're like
well, he's Achilles in it, right? Brad Pitt plays Achilles. I'm looking at the cast right
Achilles.
Now. And it's
oh,
stacked.
Oh, yeah. I'll take that. I'll take the Achilles comp. And right, whoever that girl is, that actress in the movie, I haven't seen her in like anything else, but she's stunning, beautiful. And yeah, great movie. A lot of great action scenes. And it's Brad Pitt at his most stone cold killer. I feel like he should have.
There's that one line where he talks to that little
well,
kid.
Well, that girl, there's another girl, but that's that girl too. Helen of Troy. Yeah, what are you saying?
There's that one line that we read, that little kid, he's about to fight him. And the little kid says something like, he's like, you know, I would never want to fight him because you're going to die or something. He's like, yep, that's why no one will remember your name.
Mm.
And it's just like the greatest thing you've, it's like, oh, you just want to be somebody after that. Like, let me go make a mark on this fucking world. Fires me the fuck up, man. That's why we do movies right there because they change people's lives. It's fucking awesome.
Listening to Jay-Z, watching Troy.
All he wants is people to remember him forever.
Where's
Mars Escape the Pocket?
It's not streaming. Reesberg suggested a non-streaming movie. You have to rent it on Amazon
That's
Prime,
right.
I'm sure, for $4.
Rent it. Pay that money. Watch the movie.
Will do.
If you haven't seen it, what are you doing?
163
it's right
minutes
now in my
long.
Letterboxd top four.
Yeah, guess I'm not living.
Fury is streaming on Netflix. Greatest fucking war movie ever.
It's directed by Wolfgang Peterson.
Oh, that's a good movie too.
He also directed The Perfect Storm and The Neverending Story and Das Boot.
Doesn't have
and Air Force One.
Doesn't have other good movies. He was really in his bag on Troy.
David Benioff of Game of Thrones fame wrote it.
Interesting.
Oh, Sean Bean stars in it and he doesn't die.
Brian Cox, a.k.a. Logan Roy, is in it. Orlando Bloom.
Ooh, there we go.
Eric Bana.
Sometimes
Rose Byrne.
Get around and name actors.
Rose Byrne, that's what I'm talking about. Rose Byrne.
Yeah, dude, Troy's you've seen Rose Byrne in other things. She's in Neighbors. Like, she's all over the place.
No, I just forgot. She has so much more sex appeal in Troy, probably just because she's in Troy next to Brad Pitt and she was younger. But, yeah, in what was it? You said Neighbors?
She's really good in Bridesmaids.
Like a bomb.
Yeah, but I love Rose Byrne. I think she's hot. I'm
but
all
it's
in
just
on
like
Rose
Byrne. We're talking two comedians. I'll consider like Brad Pitt a little bit of a comedian. I feel like even when he's doing serious roles, they come off a little humorous, like Meet Joe Black, and then Once Upon a Time in Hollywood was probably a more comedic role. But, I mean, he killed this serious role. Like, I fully believed you are Achilles, and I should fear you through my TV.
Okay. No, I think that's great. Fun fact.
That's my pick.
One last thing on Rose Byrne. She's married to Bobby Cannavale, who was in The Irishman. And I just think it's hilarious
that
a super Italian dude is married to a super British chick. What?
I see him at the Equinox all the time. I swear. That's the guy from The Watcher, right?
Yeah.
I see him at the gym all the time.
Hi, Tanya. Yeah. Is he jacked? He's got
to
be jacked,
nice
right?
Nice to know he's staying good.
What's the Z Ansari Netflix show?
Master of None.
I always think of him as the Jeff from Master of None.
Nice. Good pull.
He's funny.
The Poppy Slay type.
He's good. Yeah, I like him.
Pick your popcorn, Turner.
Let him know. Yeah. Clip this and show it to him next time you see him at the gym.
I will. All
right, my popcorn pick could not be like further from Troy as a movie. I'll set the scene a little bit. Went to a wedding this weekend, out of towner, Friday night, Saturday night, big nights, 8 hours of sleep maybe total. Get back home, shell of a self. No, this is gonna go downhill for you. Shell of a self, like can't even really put a thought together. Flipping on Netflix. All right, what do they got here? See this movie in the top 10, Tom and Jerry. I'm like, oh, two classic characters. Let me just throw on just, you know, all time. Got a lot of love for Tom and Jerry. It's probably going to be okay. I was reading the title. A modern take on some of your classic favorites. I'm like, they are my classic favorites. I could watch these guys get up to no good. There's a Rustle and Tussle. 90-minute movie. Got two more movies in me at least today. So, like, let's just start off with this one. Maybe we'll fall asleep. We'll see what's happening. This is more of like a kernel pick. Worst movie I've seen in probably 5 to 10 years.
1.9 on Letterboxd on a scale of 1 to 5. I'd never see movies below 2.0 on Letterboxd. 1.9 is insane.
I could not believe what I was watching. So you expect the movie to be about Tom and Jerry, right? You know, it's called Tom and Jerry. It starts off and it's mainly about just human beings living their life in New York. Chloe Grace Moretz is the main character. She wants to get a job. She needs a job. You don't really understand why. And then she gets the job. She sucks the job, and she's trying to make up for being at the job. And the whole time, you're just kind of wondering, where's Tom and Jerry? Animated, bad animation in a human world, just kind of living off to the side.
Worst.
Horrible movie. If you're into, like, a 90-minute, like, you know, hate flick, sometimes people are into that, you know, just bad movies, then I'd suggest it. Otherwise, I don't know how this made it into the Netflix top 10. A lot of trash makes it on the top 10, but not any that have really eared me or rubbed me the wrong way as much as this one. Gave it 1 star on Letterboxd. I would have given it a half if it wasn't just for, you know, the namesake of Tom and Jerry.
All right, so there's a woman who used to write for Burbs with us. I used to edit her pieces. She's hysterical. She is maybe deeper in movies than I am. She gave it 5 stars on Letterboxd, and this was her review. Plane altitude made me think Tom was kind of hot. Relax. 5 stars because who the fuck seriously rates this movie on Letterboxd? Eat a goddamn vegetable. I miss Katya. She was great. I loved her. Yeah, I mean, just the idea of like bringing animation into the real world, that doesn't work after Who Framed Roger Rabbit. They did it once. They did it perfect. Don't try to replicate it. You're not going to do it as well. I remember seeing the trailers for this movie and being like, that's going to be dog shit. And my dad has this thing with movies where he'll either say that's the greatest thing I've ever seen, or he'll never say anything's bad. He'll be like, yeah, it wasn't bad. And like that's like his like worst thing. So when he says it wasn't bad, I know that it's dog shit. He took my little sister to go see this, and he's like, yeah, that it wasn't bad. I'm like, it definitely was fucking god-awful. Michael Pena, who you guys compared to Philip Seymour Hoffman last week on the pod, is in this movie. Colin Jost in this movie. Ken Jeong. So like good cast for the most part. I like a lot of these people. Lil Rel. But that is Chloe Grace Moretz leading your movie. Reesper, you said you didn't like her, just flat out
yeah,
on
yeah,
Chloe Grace Moretz.
Yeah, I don't like her. Just, I'm out on her. Yeah, it's something about her face and just the way she carries herself. She's not likable or relatable. She just kind of seems like somebody I wouldn't get along with.
I like this take from you. Personal. This is good. I like this. Okay.
Do you guys feel the same way? Like when I see her in something, I immediately eye roll and go, I don't know if I can watch this anymore now. Yeah, that girl, that's the best picture I've ever seen of her. She doesn't look like that.
She looks hot there. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't really care about her. I'm not going to like go out of my way to see a Chloe Grace Moretz movie. All right, Cerrone, what is your popcorn pick?
My popcorn pick. something. So I've dabbled in these, these episodes a little bit, like in years prior, but the past 2 weeks I've been addicted. Like I'm talking, like it's on the background right now. It's been on 24/7. Is these actors on actors? These actor roundtables. Mm-hmm. Now, and I get it. Okay,
like I'm inspired today, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm acting. You know, an actor here. So I'm going at it from a different approach. I'm trying to learn as physically much as possible. And I've taken classes. I've taken good acting classes, bad acting classes. You know, one of the best ways to fucking learn about how these guys do everything is them just shooting the shit over these actor roundtables. It's so entertaining. But at the same time, also, if you're not in the world of entertainment at all and you're just like a consumer, it's crazy to hear these actors talk about how they formulate these roles, these characters, how these directors, how they work these sets, like all these little tidbits of information about how a movie's made and how it's not made and their worst experience on a set, their best experience on a set. You got Shia LaBeouf talking about this. You got Timothy Chalamet talking about this. You got Bradley. It's like the coolest fucking thing to hear these guys. It's almost like Ralph was talking about that ESPN series when you would hear Peyton Manning pick apart a play that won a Super Bowl. Dude, to hear fucking Domingo talk about how he prepped for this role and how he changed his voice and took a dialect coach for 2 years. And then you hear fucking all these, you know, Shia LaBeouf talk about Honey Boy and how about he played his own dad and he's shoving these things up his nose and he had to. It's like the craziest thing. Like if you haven't watched these things, and they also have directors on directors. Yep. It's the coolest fucking thing to hear these guys talk about how they make movies, how they get into roles, how they do these roles. Love, hate. And then you also have these guys that aren't with us anymore, these actors that have died, that have you hear them talking about their role. It's just the coolest thing to me, and I've been like addicted to them. Like I'm watching this one right now, how they made Forrest Gump, Tom Hanks. Like it's crazy to hear him talk about and see the behind the scenes stuff. Like it's the cool. I know this is like the world I'm in now, and I'm trying to like prep for roles and learn from it. But like, even if you're not in that world, it is, for me, it's the coolest shit to see and hear them talk about how this is done. So I've just been like addicted to that and fully bought into that the past couple of weeks. It's just been on nonstop.
Yeah, it's
listening to those. Do you ever feel like the two actors talking like don't like each other or don't vibe? I've watched a few, and sometimes
there are
like
some awkward ones, man.
It's awkward.
Some work very well. Timothy Chalamet must be on so much Adderall, it's not even funny because he doesn't even let the other person talk. What's the guy from Euphoria? The guy,
Jacob Elordi.
Yeah, no, the black guy who helps Rue. What's his name?
Yeah, Coleman Domingo.
Very big act. Yeah. Oh yeah, Domingo. When he does one with Jacob Elordi. Really good. But Chalamet does one with the guy from Get Out, the black dude from Get
Daniel
Out.
Kaluuya.
And that guy can't get a word in.
Damn, that sucks. Kaluuya is like one of my favorite people in the world. And like, I love Timmy, but I just watched
he must have took a 30 before that, bro, because he can't get a word out.
I think you sent me the TikTok of Austin Butler and Timmy getting interviewed by that guy that we like. He does a really good job interviewing these actors.
Oh, and that guy's the best. I got his name too.
He's solid.
He's the best interviewer.
Love to see one of these. Maybe like Michael Pena, Chloe Grace Moretz.
Commentary.
I would actually watch that. That would be enticing.
They're like, do you remember that day in front of the green screen?
You were eating apart.
Do you remember that day where just Tom was acting up?
Do you remember when we told the director, like, a little bit less Tom and Jerry in this movie called Tom and Jerry? A little bit more Clary Clay Grace Moretz.
We got pitched this movie about Tom and Jerry. We were crushing it so fucking much, they just shifted the whole plot and made it about us.
That's brutal. Do you have a favorite one, Mikey? Was it Killian and Margot that did theirs together this year for Oppenheimer and Barbie?
I felt like they didn't like each other that much. I feel like Killian doesn't like anybody in Hollywood. So that's probably why I got
the vibe. Not a Hollywood
person.
I feel like he wasn't as with
what Margot Robbie was saying. Like cool, but
so one of my favorites is Domingo and Jacob Elordi. And it's funny that you talk about him, I guess, choking someone out, because the guy seems so down to earth. Like, he, you know,
he's an actor.
Seems like he's like,
and he's on camera. They, so yeah, that's true. There is a part of them like, where, like, they are performing a little bit. Mikey, in these ways. He, like, you expect
Emma
them to be
Stone
raw.
Did one with,
yeah. Emma Stone's is great.
Yeah.
Mikey, was Elordi funny at all? No.
No, he wasn't. He's more of a
can't have
you know how hard it is to be unfunny if you're Australian? You have to go out of your way, dude.
maybe he sucks. I don't know. Maybe
he has this sophisticated voice. Too sophisticated. Feels like he comes from a very high class. There's also a Brad Pitt, Margot Robbie, and Leo DiCaprio actors on actors. That one's really good.
Yeah, Chalamet and Scorsese was cool. Like, this weird kind of like, it's just
they're
cool to
Chalamet
hear them talk. Yeah. Robert Downey Jr., the ones with him are always really funny. He's one of the wittiest actors.
Oh, yeah.
I think, like, he could easily do comedic films. But a lot of, like, and there's just, like, endless ones. Like, the guy, who's the guy, the Black Panther?
Chadwick.
Chadwick Boseman. Because I watched a bunch with him, and it's crazy because he's, you know, obviously, you know, passed away. And to hear him talk about a bunch of stuff and... it's just like really, I think everybody would be interested, even if you're not acting,
Mike,
or not.
It's
crazy to hear them go into it.
Could do actors on actors and be a
McConaughey.
Cross with somebody.
McConaughey.
Okay, there you go.
McConaughey or Shia LaBeouf.
That'd be beautiful.
Shia LaBeouf does some as well. And, he's a, you can see it. He's such a crazy dude. For me, my God is McConaughey. If I could take his exact, just rom-com, shirt off, abs, get the girl, and then go into serious True Detective. Just the perfect career path.
That's actually a good question.
I just watched
Two for the Money with him in it, and it really average movie,
with this
awesome McConaughey role.
Yeah.
Turner, who would yours be?
Yeah,
you didn't have McConaughey
ready to
go.
Do you have one off the top of your head?
I immediately went to McConaughey. That'd probably be a big go-to, but to go off that, I mean, wow, we all sound like some real white boys. I'd go Brad Pitt. That'd be a fun combo.
Okay. I'm still
shirtless.
Thinking mine.
The shirtless Brad Pitt.
Yeah, we both have to be shirtless.
Can I do a director?
Okay, see that.
Can I do director instead of actor? I would do PTA, and I would want to get under his skin. I want to get the Coke. I want to get PTA back on Coke.
How cool would it be just to ask him, like, because I in class, there's a bunch of directors that always come in and, like, really good actors, too. And I'm just, like, itching to ask them everything and anything. Like, do you care about this? How'd you do that? Like, do you want ever, like, it's just so cool to, like, it's like if you were to interview, like, an NBA player, like, you just want to know every little X and O of, like, what's going on out there. So I love him.
Maybe
I'm
like
right
Jussie Smollett, Woody Allen.
Woody Harrelson would be a fun one.
Amber
Harrelson,
Heard.
Amber Heard, that's a good one. Harvey Weinstein.
Kevin Spacey, Louis C.K.
Yeah.
I mean, the list goes on and on. There's a lot
James
of actors
Franco.
That we like to sit across from.
James Franco's a great one.
Seth Rogen would be a fun one, Jonah.
Lordy might fit in that crowd, I guess.
Well, he's fit now.
Okay,
well,
he's not
that
bad.
We got actors on actors. There's also, have you seen the round table, the actors round table, where they get a bunch of everybody that was nominated for a Grammy or whatever award.
Yep.
They all sit there and get to talk about it. Yeah, kind of same,
awesome.
Similar series. Really good.
Well, and they always get people from different
too.
Kinds of movies. Like, I remember there's one with Adam Sandler, Robert De Niro, and Adam Driver. It was 2019.
That one's awesome.
It's like Uncut Gems, The Irishman,
so
and Marriage Story. They're all promoting them at the same time. I think Bob Odenkirk might be in it from Little Women, or maybe it's Timmy. I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's a very good one.
It's just, yeah, that's.
I really
great.
Think we should normalize just giving out awards and letting people talk about them. Like, I could be like, Reesburg, I think you have the coolest shirt today. And they're like, do you want to talk about it? Like, something along those lines. Just all the time. You know, people laugh at the Dundee Awards.
Yeah.
They're
great ideas.
They're coming from a good place.
Yeah, I wish my office had an award show. That'd be great. But all right, speaking of that, you know, I got real work to do. I got to do tomorrow before I leave for Arizona, and I also need to edit this pod tomorrow. So we need to wrap things up so that way it's a little bit easier on me. But this has been great. We will be back next week.
It's tough, boys.
Turner and Reesburg will either be 3-time Super Bowl champions in the last 5 years.
Oh, God.
Or they will be, I don't know, sad. I mean, they're going to be defeated if they are. I have money on the Chiefs. And then Cerrone and I will be together. So this will be great. Thank you guys for listening. We love you.
Super Bowl 58.
We will see you on the other side.
Gotta get the Mitch Holtz quote out.
Okay. Wait, what?
Time for Mitch Holtz's quote real quick. All right, win or lose, this is what's going to go on. You know, the Chiefs are still going to be around. So I think it's perfect to do this quote here. This was from the Sports KC radio legendary icon broadcaster. Been doing it for years. You can doubt the Chiefs. You can dislike the Chiefs. You can disrespect the Chiefs. But you're going to have to deal with the Chiefs. Boom.
All right, on that note, we'll see you on the other side. Fuck the Chiefs. Fuck the Chiefs. Peace out.
Shut it off. Cut.